flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
How's Travis Kelce 2 weeks ago? Not as good last week against Buffalo.
Yeah.
But he's had a nice postseason so far for the Chiefs. They're back in the Super Bowl.
Well, it was the 1 week I took like over all his stuff, and then he like just went into a shell. And you're like, wait, what the hell happened?
I wasn't even trying to go there, but
no, because all year I'm like, he's washed, and then he had a decent year, but like, you know, quiet, like here and there, he'd pick his spots. Then he was really good in the first playoff game. Then this one, you're like, he's gone.
I forgot you were in on Kelce.
I think I'm staying away from Kelce Super Bowl props.
You know what that means?
He's going to have a monster
Eaton,
game.
Eaton will be good out there, everybody else.
He's going to feed.
WEI's coverage of football's postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. We'll get back into the Bruins. Your phone call's there if you want to jump in on their rough night last night. I don't think it takes any crazy dot connecting, but could they move on from Brad Marchand? I know Elliot Friedman thinks that's possibly in the cards. On top of that, a move should be made before the trade deadline, one way or the other, whether you're retooling or whether you're trying to make a hockey trade to make a run. They need to shake something up. I think that's apparent. Watching them against the Sabres last night, their road struggles this year and their struggles in general. They're not on pace to be a playoff team. So again, 617-779-7937. You can still jump in on Ted Johnson. 10% credit for Bill Belichick, which really I think was a commentary on not giving head coaches a whole ton of credit throughout the NFL. It's not like he was bullish on Andy Reid or any other coach. I do think NFL coaches tend to get too much credit. Yesterday, and we're going to do this every day of the week here for the rest of the week at 11 o'clock, comparing different aspects of the Patriots and the Chiefs dynasty. We compared Reid to Belichick. Reid is closing in. Tommy Curran yesterday called it the closest of all these debates.
Yeah.
Reid versus Bill. Reid needs to win this Super Bowl to really make it a debate. And I think 2 Mondays from now, we could really have a good conversation about it. Reed's trending that way, but he has more work to do. If he doesn't win this Super Bowl, it's still Bill, and it should be Bill. After that, come talk to us. But let's get to Travis Kelce and Rob Gronkowski, which is one that I actually called this one last season, Keith. I felt like there was a shift. Let's start with this before we really dig in on the numbers. Do you think these are the two greatest tight ends of all time, or is there somebody else who deserves to be in the mix?
I do. I think they're the two best. I know people will call, like, old school guys have their guys, and that's fine. I mean, but for me, like, really watching it, I don't know about Mike Ditka or John Mackey.
I think I've told you this. These aren't old timers like you're talking about, but Christian Arkan is a big Tony Gonzalez guy.
All right, so that might be another, like, the modern day guys. That's another name that will get tossed out there. I'm not going to completely dismiss that. You know, Tony Gonzalez, you know, Kellen Winslow Sr. So all due respect to some of the older guys, I'm sure there's an argument to be made for them and how the game was played and blah, blah, blah. I think these are the two best. Now, this is where the conversation either stops immediately or continues, depending on who you're talking to. Some say Travis Kelce doesn't block nine at tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're done. They don't want to engage in any more conversation. They're like, he's a big wide receiver.
He's a glorified wide receiver.
All right, but he's a Pro Bowl tight end. He's listed as a tight end. They use their tight end that way. So who's a better blocker? Not even close, right? Gronk is a much better blocker than Kelce. But like, all right, let's get into all the other stuff. Let's get into all the catches. And, you know, I think you look at some of the stats. Kelsey's been healthier than Gronk in his career. Kelce has more catches and yards, but he has less touchdowns. Kelce's also putting up these crazy playoff numbers.
His numbers in the playoffs, I'm stunned at how good they are compared to Gronk's.
No, they absolutely are. Super Bowls, I think, are even, right? I think it's 3-3. Is that right?
Well, it depends on how you count them. Gronk technically has 4, but he didn't play in 2016.
I mean, I think it's 3-3 then.
Okay. And Kelce potentially could tack on a fourth here. So as of today, I think the most fair way to do it is 3-3, but Gronk does have a fourth ring. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Gronk's better. I do. But I also think Travis Kelce gets kind of underrated around here because people are so sensitive to it, and he doesn't play the position the same way that Gronk did. Like, Gronk is more what you would think a prototypical tight end. Like, if you were describing the position, it would be Rob Gronkowski. Travis Kelce does it differently, but what he does is very, very effective. And I also think the fact that he won with a guy like Tyreek Hill, like on his, like outside, and then Tyreek Hill's gone, and then he was still the number one receiver, and they still won without him, kind of speaks to just how good he is too.
So I like the way you started this conversation. If you're one of these, Kelce doesn't block,
then it's over.
And Gronk does, well, then we can't argue with you, and you feel a certain way. And it's not even that you're wrong. It's just then you can't have this debate. But they are both tight ends, defined by their position in the NFL. It's the position they play. So let's try to take blocking out of it as much as we can. You guys can jump in, 617-779-7937. That sounds like a shot at Gronk. It's not. It's just, if it's all about the blocking, then there's no point in the debate. So if you want to line up the accolades, they're both four-time first-team All-Pros in their career. Kelce obviously has time to tack on to that.
Yeah.
Potentially.
May or may not. You never know.
He really might walk away after the Super Bowl. I could see that.
I thought last year there was a chance he might walk away.
So,
but then he also last year was like, I'm going to play forever, right?
Shoving Andy Reid, but then saying he was going to play forever. He's kind of all over the map.
Taylor Swift loves going to these games.
Right. Yep. So they're both four-time All-Pros, first team. So that's even. I'll save this.
Go ahead.
Gronk made 5 Pro Bowls. Kelce's gone to 10. We just illustrated that Pro Bowls can be a little misleading when it comes to especially the quarterback position with Drake May and Mac Jones and Snoop Huntley and
but
all those guys.
I think it also is indicative of
his longevity, his health.
And his health. Yeah. Like, how many Gronk, every year he was healthy, either was or should have been a Pro Bowler. But there were plenty of years where he wasn't. And the fact that the Patriots won a Super Bowl in a year that he wasn't healthy.
Okay, so I think
that kind of stands out. Like, in a weird way,
there's two major red flags against Gronk.
Like, to me, and we saw it play out in the last 3-4 years of Tom Brady's career. Don't get me wrong. Rob Gronkowski is a better football player than Julian Edelman. But the 1 year they didn't have Gronk, they won it. Then the 1 year they didn't have Edelman, they didn't.
It's completely fair.
That's a pretty significant thing for both guys.
So I think Kelce has two big feathers in his cap. We can go through the numbers here in a moment, but just know ahead of time. The numbers, the stats favor Kelce greatly. Outside of touchdowns because of his health and his longevity. So the Patriots won a Super Bowl without Gronk, as you just said, in 2016. That is a strike against Gronk.
Yeah.
Martellus Bennett was out there making plays in a Super Bowl and helped them win. So that is a strike against Gronk. Whether you want to hear it or not, that's a strike against Gronk. I'll also give you this one. Kelce was a high-level tight end before he ever met Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce made 3 Pro Bowls and was a first-team All-Pro before Patrick Mahomes was his quarterback.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, Gronk never did it without Brady. He never really had the opportunity to do it without Brady.
No, he really didn't.
A few games with Garoppolo.
Yeah.
He never had the opportunity to do it without Brady, so we really don't know. With Kelce, we know. Kelce was a Pro Bowl tight end. He was an All-Pro tight end before he got Patrick Mahomes. So he's not just a product of Mahomes. With Gronk, we really don't know. The stats are a landslide. Kelce is third all-time with 1,004 career catches. Gronk is 10th all-time, 621. Kelsey's third all time.
Third all time for all players?
I'm sorry, this is tight ends.
Good Lord.
Purely for tight ends.
I was like, okay.
He's behind Gonzalez and
Gates, maybe?
No, nope, he's ahead of Gates.
Witten?
I forget. I was
probably
looking
Jason
at
Witten.
Yeah, it might be Witten. I was looking at it last night.
Yeah, yeah. 12,151
yards for Kelsey, third all time among tight ends. Gronk is sixth, 9,286.
Mm-hmm.
Touchdowns do favor Gronk.
Yeah.
Gronk has 93. He had one rushing touchdown in his career. That's third all time for tight ends. And Kelsey is fifth with 80 touchdowns. He has three rushing touchdowns in his career. The postseason numbers are a landslide for Kelsey. 174 receptions in the postseason.
The most of anybody.
Any position.
That's more than Jerry Rice, more than Edelman, more than all these other guys.
Correct. Yeah. He has over 2,000 yards receiving and 20 touchdowns. That's more than Gronk's 98, 13, 89, and 15 touchdowns. Kelsey's played only two extra games. So it's actually
The games are pretty even.
It's a pretty fair sample size in the postseason. Despite Gronk's injuries, it's a pretty fair sample size. So I declared this one last year. Kelsey's back in another Super Bowl with a chance to win four Super Bowls, two Gronks, quote-unquote four, but really three.
Yeah.
It's Kelsey. Like, to me, this one has already shifted regardless of how it goes in Super Bowl 59. It's Travis Kelsey.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I think Kelsey has the counting numbers. I would, and you can argue this any way you want. I think peak Gronk is still better than peak Kelsey. So like if you take the best version.
1,000% agree with that.
Yeah. And so there's different ways to slice it up. And then I do say, all right, I'll take Gronk's ability to, you know, be the extra blocker in there and help the run game for this position. I will take that as a thing that maybe balances out some of the receptions. So if you say Gronk peak is better, Gronk blocking is better, and Gronk touchdowns is better. I'm not sleeping on Kelsey's, like, seemingly always open, picking up a million first downs, being the security blanket for Patrick Mahomes, and the win, like, the team success is basically a wash. I think it's super close, and that's why I do think Kelsey gets a little disrespected around here. I think he's better than any other tight end besides Gronk that certainly I've seen over my 40 years of really paying attention to it. So I'd put him two, and it's not even a disrespect. I still have Gronk one.
What would it take for Kelsey to get to one? Or can he just not do it?
I think he can, because at some point...
would another Super Bowl win against the Eagles, would that swing it for you, or do you need even more than that?
I mean, if he has a good game, right? Like, if he looks like he did in the AFC Championship maybe it's a wash.
Let's call him Super Bowl MVP. I doubt he wins it, but let's say that happens.
I'll give it to him.
Super Bowl MVP, give it to Kelsey over Gronk.
Yep.
Okay.
Super Bowl MVP. That's the line. Anything short of that, still Gronk.
How about what you were just saying? A really good Super Bowl. Mahomes wins another Super Bowl MVP because quarterbacks get it. He tacks on another ring. Is that enough?
No, it would probably still be Gronk in that case. Now, Gronk was never a Super Bowl MVP. I mean, he had some moments, and was very productive when he was out there. He was a Super Bowl decoy one year.
Yeah,
he was hurt.
That's true. That is true. So this is a real question, and fantasy football clouds this, I'll admit, even for me. Like, I put a lot of emphasis on touchdowns because they're so important in fantasy. I'd probably put too much emphasis on it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you rather have, the yards and the catches or the touchdowns? Kelsey has the yards and the catches, which makes the team go up and down the field. Gronk would finish off drives by being uncoverable in the red zone. And Kelsey has a good touchdown number. Gronk has good yards and receptions.
I'm going to wait with the touchdowns.
Yeah?
I will. Yeah, because, I mean...
So that's the most important stat for a tight end, touchdowns, even more than catches and yards.
Maybe. Yeah. I would probably weigh that, you know, because you can get catches and yards with a lot of these different like slot receivers, but then when they end with like one touchdown, you're like, all right, someone's got to get in there, someone's got to score for you. So I would probably say Gronk. I think it also speaks to his. I mean, they both are good catch and run. I feel like one thing with Gronk. Let me double check. I feel like he is. Yeah, he's way more yards per catch than Kelsey will be.
Yeah.
Kelsey is kind of a dink and dunk guy.
Oh,
catch
yeah.
Catch it, get tackled.
Gronk is down the seam. I mean, it's part of why
he suffered. And don't get me wrong, that's still valuable. Like, that, you know, I'm not going to trash that and then, you know,
talk
compliment
Edelman.
Welker and Edelman and right. Troy Brown. Like, those guys were all great, and he does a lot more of that stuff. But, like, yeah, Gronk catching it and then just, like, stiff-arming a safety and running into the end zone is still pretty memorable.
Yeah, and, you know, Gronk was just targeted deeper down the field, up the seam and things like that, which is part of what got him hurt. I mean, part of the way they asked him to play is what hurt his longevity. I mean, he came into the league with significant back issues, although the irony is Kelce was hurt early in his career.
Yeah, he was off to a slow start, and he was a late guy. Remember the whole story about him getting kicked out of college, and his brother talked him back into college, so he was an old rookie, too. Because when those guys were getting compared, everybody thought Gronk was so much older than him, and you're like, no, they're basically like the same age, right? I think they are.
Yeah, even now?
Well, once they're the same age, I think they'll always be the same
age. I'm saying, that's a stupid question. But I'm saying, like, you're saying present day?
They're 35. They're both 35.
Not what their level of production, but current day, they're the same age. Yeah.
Same age. So Kelce's style of play is going to make him more durable, too. Like, Gronk was sort of like a crash test dummy.
Yeah. I mean, Kelce's taking more hits because he's got more catches. And so, I mean, there's a lot of after catch stuff with him.
Yeah.
So, they put, this isn't a knock on Bill, but the way they asked him to play, you're putting him in harm's way, getting his knees taken out and things like this.
And like, hey, it's worked for his career, so I'm not even really knocking him for it. But who's more likely to pick up a first down and like hit the deck? I feel like Kelce, like play for them on the play, catch it, avoid a hit. Whereas I feel like Gronk is going to try to run through you, and it might be to the detriment. He might get hurt doing it, but I feel like he's more likely to bash your head.
I'll give you that. Pete Gronk was uncoverable.
The best.
And so at his best, Gronk was better. I will acknowledge that. But that's not really the discussion. Like, who's the better player and who had the better career? And that to me is Kelce. And who's the greatest tight end of all time? Like, who's at their peak, who's better, Mahomes or Brady? You want to have that debate? Because Mahomes at his peak is probably better at his peak already than Brady.
Yeah, maybe.
So,
but that's also where, like,
do we reward people for their longevity with Brady and Kelce, or do we not? Like, we gotta pick on this one. And so, to me, I feel like I am siding on the full career and all they accomplished, and Kelce and Brady to me feels consistent.
But Kelce doesn't have he doesn't have double the career that like Brady has.
No,
so
that's
like
true.
So if you want to take the peak argument, then there's like so much counting stats and like so many more winning seasons. Whereas regular season, Rob Gronkowski played in 143 games and Kelce's at 175. So it's more. It's going to help the counting stats, but 30 that's really the equivalent of two more seasons. Right? So like, if he tacks on another one and another one, like, then you're like, okay, now you're getting overwhelmed by the stats, and maybe that's when he could pass him too.
I just think for all the Patriots fans who think it's Gronk and Kelce doesn't block and this and that, the postseason numbers for Kelce are the staggering one, where you're like,
oh,
in games that matter on winning teams and championship level teams, the numbers are advantage Kelce, even though he never blocked, advantage Kelce, and he could tack on another Super Bowl in Super Bowl 59. So you guys can jump in on this. Greatest of all time at tight end. First of all, do you even agree these are the two greatest? I do. I'm with Keith on this.
Yeah, I do.
These are the two best. And I thought last year with another win for Kelce and another big postseason performance, I moved it then.
All right, so that's interesting. So you think Kelce already better than Gronk.
Last year.
So and you think Belichick's still better than Reed, but he has a chance to close that one.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk more about this tomorrow. But really, the Brady Mahomes one, even though people nationally are trying to make it happen, that's still the one with the widest gap.
No, that's projecting. That one, We've finger-wagged anybody like Stephen A. or Pete Prisco or even Orlovsky kind of dabbled in that the other day, who say if they three-peat, it's over and it's Mahomes. I mean, I don't feel that way at all. Mahomes still has a long way to go. That's more projecting and the trend of where he's going, because he is ahead of Brady, but he still has a long way to go. I think Kelce's past him. I think Reed, we could be having a real debate a little over a week from now. Our buddy Mark is in Medford on the Bruins. Go ahead, Mark.
What's up, guys? Hello? So this month they played 13 out of 14 games, right? They lost to the Rangers, the Islanders, Ottawa, and now Buffalo. But they beat the Stanley Cup champs, they beat Tampa, and they beat Colorado. Is it safe to say that this team does not get up for teams that are below them or even with them in the standings? And someone needs to ask Jeremy Swayman what made him think he was worth the money he is getting.
Okay, I think he is worth it.
He got the money.
The Bruins even acknowledge he's worth it since they gave it to him.
He'd probably like to have a couple of those back.
Yeah.
Not all. So he allowed six. Obviously, they added a seventh yesterday.
The one where it was three guys standing alone in front of the net was pretty good. Was Zadorov standing in the corner?
I don't get people blaming.
Dude, Zadorov?
He's awful.
Brutal.
So I talked myself into that signing.
He's a hoss.
I should have dug in.
Not our hoss of the week.
Not the hoss of the week. Might not ever be the hoss of the week.
No.
Definitely not.
I don't see that in his future. Your trophy is not in the mail.
Nope.
Zadorov. But, no, I don't get people blaming Swayman. Like, oh, Swayman, he's not worth the money. Well, I blame him for his crappy play.
Well, every player you would think would want the most money they can possibly get.
The Bruins gave it to him.
He,
what are you blaming him for? The Bruins ultimately caved. They should have caved sooner so that he wouldn't have missed a whole offseason.
Yeah.
and missed the beginning of this season. He didn't play in the opener because the Bruins should have caved earlier and gave him the money they were always going to give him.
Mm-hmm.
So they should have done that. I don't get people blaming Swayman. Blame him for his play.
Yeah.
But blame him for wanting the money makes no sense to me. You can argue with the Bruins giving it to him, but him wanting it, that's stupid. He got it. He's clearly worth it from the league standpoint. And in the Bruins' view, he's worth it. It's why they gave it to him. So I think he makes a good point, Mark does, that the Bruins just have trouble getting up for some of these games. And some of the same stuff we blame the Celtics for. Rolling the basketballs out, expecting to show up and win against a team like the Sabres, and then they get up for some of the better teams.
Yeah, maybe.
But that speaks to a leadership issue, and I'm not going to blame the head coach for it anymore.
But even though they beat Tampa recently, they also that was the last game on their 6-game losing streak. They lost to Edmonton in that streak. They lost to Toronto. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
So he's just pulling anecdotal evidence.
Maybe
there's not a larger trend there.
I don't think so. I feel like they've lost to a variety of teams. They've beaten a variety of teams. I just think they're up and down. They're not very consistent. I think 52 games into the year to have whatever it is, the second worst goal differential in the Eastern Conference kind of speaks to itself. Right? Like you're not only beating the teams in front of you or vice versa. That's not really the case. I think
there might be an element of, again, their leadership that's in question. I think a lot of us question Marchand. Montgomery's gone. I meant to play this earlier, Keith.
Yeah.
I listened to a little bit of Joe Sacco after the game last night. I think he embodies this Bruins season in this answer. I think there's an element of just embodying their entire season. This is quick. This is Joe Sacco right after the game last night.
What concerns you most today?
I guess just... The way we managed the game
that's how I feel.
We managed it.
You know what?
That's how I feel about it.
I think we have a new one, Nick. We had the Mayo groan. We now have the Sacco sigh. add it to the catalog.
Like, my favorite thing, too, is he kind of like started to talk, and then he's like...
It's like, be a head coach, they said. It'd be fun, they said. Take over the team, they said.
Nick, can I hear the full one more time?
It's like, hell am I doing
here? Here we go.
What concerns you most today?
Yeah.
I guess just...
so much about this team.
Every time, Katzla. Every time I see the credit card statement every month, Joe Sacco, how does it look? It's just like...
Sacco sigh.
Oh, my God. Hey, can you go? Can you take? Can you take Lucas to the grocery store? We need something. Like, that's exactly how I feel. That's the full on embodiment of the Bruins season. Is that
so
right
you
there?
Just sit on the couch. Like, can you give me some water? Like, I was literally standing by the fridge just a moment ago.
I was just in there.
Okay,
you need me to get you water.
Yep.
Okay.
You're actually closer to the water than I am, but I'll get it.
That's how. I think that's how we all feel about the Bruins nowadays.
You're right. That does sum it up.
We're all Joe Sacco.
He's like, I got 30 more games of this, then I'll get fired. He's like, I just be the assistant coach here. You get less blame.
Hey, Nick, stand by on this. What was the Bruins' reaction when Keith had just a giant scoop and outed all of their locker room issues? I don't think they were thrilled.
No.
I don't think they've been thrilled about it.
They're like, Brad, you're going to have to go into your photo roll, find all the pictures of you and Pastrnak to prove once and for all that you guys are best buds.
Here's our login to Getty Images.
Yeah, can somebody send me those pictures?
It's true. Use Grok on Twitter and Photoshop yourself into pictures with Pastrnak.
I don't think the Bruins organization is thrilled. I don't think a lot of their media is thrilled.
No.
I think that's how they all feel.
It's tough.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Bruins. You can jump in on Gronk versus Kelce. It's time to call that one in favor of Travis Kelce. I feel like we've been there. 617-779-7937. And it's a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll get to some Would You Rathers right after Trending with Billy Laney.